Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Hyper Chat. It is Thursday, the 14th of October, 2021. We are joined whilst she uploads the next episode, the next thrilling chapter. It's the host, the co-host of the Canto Bite Dispatch, Emily Lind. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Steel?
I am delightful. Another quick week.
Okay.
These weeks, they just go like this, and we're here for a bit of a Thursday Star Wars chat, and I am upbeat, very upbeat, because we are going to be chatting about a potential Daisy Ridley return. It is my theory that episode 10 is inevitable, and we've got a little article about her staying in touch with the powers that be. But you are filling in for Corey, Emily.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, I feel like I know what's coming.
And I've got a little text dealy here. Sorry to show our private conversations. But it does go, want a pod at 7 your time? Emily says, sure. I say, ace. I then follow up with, you're the new Corey. And your snarky reply, Emily, is yikes.
Well, that is because I feel like we have a very different dynamic than you and Corey have. And you pick on Corey quite a bit. Poor young Corey. You're a bit of a bully. And I think we have the opposite dynamic. And I want to stick with that.
A bit of a bully? I'm not the one saying yikes. I'd be honored to be Corey.
That was not. I don't want to be Corey on this show because you are quite mean to him. And I want to be mean to you. That's the way it's supposed to work when I'm on the show.
All right. Well, after all that, Corey, who do you want to be mean to?
Wow. I've never felt more vindicated in my life than right now. Oh, that's great. What a great opening. I love it. Drink that coffee. Yeah. Drink it.
Oh, so you're with her. You're happy with the yikes.
I love the yikes. That's amazing.
Now that the out of context, yes, the yikes is bad, but in the context I have given.
Oh, that's great. I love it. That made my day. That's going to be my reaction when you ask me, like, every time you just send me the 4 o'clock, I'll reply with the yikes going forward. I love it. Oh, wow.
Yikes confirmed. Today's scope. Great. All right. How you doing, Corey? Your schedule opened up for us.
Yeah. I made a last minute switch and decided to come on. I'm excited though. Emily's here. I feel like we haven't done a podcast since Mando season 2, which was like 3 years ago. So it's nice to have everyone here.
Let me ask you this, Corey. When you found out that you were going to be on with Emily, was your first reaction yikes?
No, I was like, wow, I'll be safe for this episode then. I'm safe.
Safe from what?
Your tyranny. I'm safe from your tyranny today. I see you have an Ewok hat back there. You're filling it in quite a bit now.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, if you're under 18, look away from the screen for a moment. Great.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy James Eaton in Australia says this stream has a better plot and higher stakes than The Last Jedi. Don't, I'm trying to go, I'm going an episode not talking about, well, actually we are just about to talk about The Last Jedi. Oh my God. Anyway, let's get to this. Corey, I know you are a subscriber to yourself, to the print version. But Emily, do you ever browse grazia.com?
Nope.
graziadaily.co.uk. That's probably why, because you've got the wrong address.
Oh, okay.
But Daisy Ridley is out promoting her new podcast series, which I know we're in a multimedia modern platform age, but like that's a bit of a yikes in itself. And it would lend credence to my theory. But she talks about she's asked, your final Star Wars came out in 2019. Was it weird saying goodbye to the franchise you've been part of for such a long time? My God, I was so sad. I spent a lot of time crying. I really felt like I was grieving something. I couldn't imagine. She's like made friends and stuff. You know, good for her. But from a superficial nerd sort of thing, that the last day of leaving a Star Wars set would just be like a bittersweet heartbreak. Don't you think, Corey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really tough.
Anyway, we started this thing together in our early 20s and now I'm 29. We all keep in touch, even though John is the busiest man in the world, which I'm not sure. But I went for breakfast with Kathy Kennedy the other day, which was so nice. Now, listen.
Listening.
There is... No, like I just think monetarily there is no way to stop Star Wars Episode 10 and Kathleen Kennedy. It all comes out in interviews, but you know, behind the scenes is staying in the good graces of Daisy Ridley and John Boyega. John Boyega said that she contacted him after I think it was the GQ interview came out and stuff. I am so up for it because I would, although I didn't enjoy The Last Jedi, I would like it to be, not The Last Jedi, the Rise of Skywalker. I want it to be a blip on the road. I want it just to be a little rocky patch in an otherwise fantastic space journey for me. And I reckon we're going to get some form of episode 10 and you're gonna have your Adam Driver as well. I reckon it's everyone's gonna be back. And I hope that Rogue Squadron is a series set after episode 9, which would warm us up for some more action. I total other topic, but I just don't want I feel like to jump back in time would be so stifling for Star Wars momentum. Where do you stand on all these issues, Emily Lind, the fill-in Corey?
I need some time before I'm going to be ready for 10 because I felt really burned by Rise of Skywalker. And I sort of, I don't know, like it'd have to be something really different, and it would have to. I mean, definitely, if they announce it with JJ, then I'm not going that route. I would say, absolutely, don't bring Adam Driver back. As much as I like him as an actor, the only like undoing that character death is. With apologies to you, Steele, because I know you like him, and we're just advocating for it. But I think it's terrible storytelling. If you, like, one of the only, like, emotional moments in Rise, you go, and no, that didn't actually matter at all.
I hear loud and clear But have you thought about these?
Dude, Adam Driver's not hurting for work. I can see him in lots of other things that I like him more in.
We could just cut. Oh, my God. poke out from there, Corey. If you're listening to the podcast, you're missing some great Adam Driver. Nipple action. I hear you, and I do concede your points. However, I'm taking a Darth Maul approach.
Oh, because you love the Darth Maul coming back so much.
Yeah, but then afterwards I enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean? Like, the fact that he came back was just ridiculous. But he's back. Do you know what I mean? Corey, where are you sitting behind Adam Driver?
Well, I feel like...
If you can just poke your head out so we can see your face.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he really looks like he's here. This is weird. Wow. Did you make this PNG? Did you actually have to go through it and cut out all the bits behind him?
Yeah, so?
Oh, so you took the time. Got it. All right.
Tell me this is not worth it.
No, it's great. I love it. It's great. Yeah, like episode 10, I mean, that feels so far in the future that it's not even something I ever really think about. But I don't know. Like, I think it's an interesting move, sort of this quickly going back into the sequel era stuff, considering like we just finished it and like episode 9 was supposed to be such a big, you know, ending to,
but before we talk about giving it the right amount of time, so 2019, right?
Yeah.
Now, when's the next Star Wars film? 2023?
Oh yeah, this won't be until like 10 years from now, I'm sure. So
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if it's at least going to be, it's at minimum 5 years, and it would have to bump the Tucker one out of the way as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fuck off then. Give me Piper's movie.
Wow. If you're under 18, just you've heard, but.
I think it could be great if it's done well, of course. If they do it right, yeah, for sure. The things that I've heard about it definitely signify that they're trying to go in that direction for sure. But there's equally like one big thing that's going to piss people off right off the bat that is already like. It'll be interesting for sure. But yeah, I mean, Daisy's definitely going to be back for it. John's going to be back for it. And supposedly Adam too. So I don't know if that's, you know, if they're going to do like Force Ghost stuff or if they're going to resurrect him or what they're going to do. But yeah, I mean, there's clearly a demand for Rey and Kylo Ren content. I mean, that's just like, that goes without saying. It's there all the time. But yeah, I mean, he did die, so.
Dude, you can't kill Nips like this. You just can't.
I don't know. There's a movie where it happens, so. Maybe.
I'll tell you what. If they bring him back with robot spider legs, then I'll accept it.
Please. For no reason. He never loses his legs or anything, but no. He just comes back.
Yeah.
I would love it. That's perfect. He's in Exegol the whole time, and they have to go back and they find him with the spider legs. Just coming out of the rubble. Love it.
All right. So can we meet at confirmed Star Wars Episode 10 with everyone but Adam Driver?
I feel like we're so far off of that movie happening that, I mean, even like, let's say it's even only like 6 years away in terms of making a movie, like there's so much stuff between now and then that speculating about who's going to be in it or what it would be, it's just like, it's going to change. Even the stuff that they have like in their heads is going to change 20 times between now and then.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry for wasting your time, Emily. Do you want to talk about Ted Lasso for 25 minutes?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
Fucking much rather do this. Sorry, I didn't mean to actually curse there. But, right. But no, I feel like...
Shut up, Sal Perales, if you're in the chat, by the way.
When it comes to talking about who's going to come back and who's not, I mean, just look how you know... A year ago, nobody thought John Boyega would ever be talking about coming back again.
Yeah, right.
And like just last year, no one thought Jake Carnevale could be making a reappearance.
Well, he hasn't.
Speaking of characters who could come back with spider legs.
Oh, hey, if Finnick can have a robo tummy, then we can give him spider legs. I still think it's crazy because I'm so in this like sort of like Kenobi Andor Mandalorian like mindset that the idea of more sequel trilogy films just it totally throws me off that's something that's even being talked about right now. But yeah, I guess I wouldn't be opposed to Ben Solo being around in some capacity. But I don't know how you can do it without just straight up being like, we resurrected him because we shouldn't have done it in the last one. So, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. Unless they've always had this large plan for years and years down the line, which looks not good. But, I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. Well, I also just think like bringing him back at this point like reeks of everything I hated about Rise of Skywalker, which is
right.
Kowtowing to people complaining about stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, but when it's stuff I want.
He died.
It
was an end and an emotional end for the character, and undoing that is silly and bad storytelling.
Listen. Darth Maul.
Uh-huh. Bad.
Back from the dead.
Bad.
Boba Fett. Back from the dead.
Boba doesn't count.
Ben Solo. Back from the dead. What?
Boba doesn't count.
Boba doesn't count for... It's not the same thing for a couple reasons.
Do you know what that is?
Again, it's like poetry. So if they rhyme.
Boba's a very different story because when Boba died... And also, he didn't die. He got thrown into a Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that wasn't an emotional end to Boba Fett because he had been in the movies for like 5 minutes.
God,
it wasn't a character arc.
Tell me you're not Haas Burkhart without saying that you're not Haas Burkhart.
Haas knows that I now, due to The Mandalorian and Tamora Morrison being awesome, I love Boba Fett deeply and I'm very excited for the show. But in the original trilogy, he's not a character. He's a guy who's there, and then he gets thrown into a pit. So bringing him back from the dead, quote unquote, is not nearly the same as having Ben Solo, like become Ben Solo again, sacrificing himself emotionally, like saying goodbye, and then being like, nah, he's not actually dead.
Yeah.
All right. What about this? Right. It's we're talking sci-fi fantasy. We're in right now. He's a ghostie. He's pulling ghosties for the first two films. And people argue trilogy, but I'm a trilogy guy. End of 12. He's back. It's the conclusion.
Wait, what? End of, he's a ghost.
He's a ghost.
Uh-huh.
In the first one. And right. Then later on, he comes back. It's like they go to the crystal of Mount Yoda.
So instead of the story I don't want, you're pitching me a longer, more drawn out version of the story I don't want.
I just want Ben Solo, all right? I just want Ben Solo.
Some friggin' fan fiction.
You want him to come back at the end of the next trilogy? So that would that mean he comes back in the trilogy after that in his, or is that how it ends?
It's not the script I'm submitting, okay? But it's just on the ideas board. Anyway, what do you think about Rogue One? Just on that, Emily, where do you think Rogue One like should hit in the timeline?
I don't understand.
Sorry, not Rogue One. Sorry, Rogue Squadron.
Okay, okay. I was going to say it's very hard to move Rogue One.
Cutting the timeline.
I'll give you another half hour. There you go. It's.
I kind of think it should be post sequel trilogy, just because original trilogy prequel, like that timeline is already so packed that filling in more movies that happened during the same time as A New Hope or anything like that gets tricky. I mean, I guess maybe you could fill in post Jedi a little bit more, but I don't know. I don't really know where I want that fit, because I'm not particularly excited about that movie, because I like the pew 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 spaceship thing isn't my favorite part of Star Wars. So I mean, you could find a way to make that interesting anywhere, I guess, but I'm not hanging for it to be anywhere in particular.
How about you, Corey?
Yeah, I think it will be post Rise of Skywalker, because I agree. It doesn't make sense to be building towards something bigger. Like all the Disney Plus shows are after Return of the Jedi, kind of leading to the sequel trilogy. This is like, why would you go back to the original trilogy time period? It wouldn't make any sense, especially, and it's different in
someone doesn't work at Hasbro.
Exactly. It's different like in a theatrical sense, because like on Disney Plus you could do anything, but if you're going to put out something that would confuse audiences a lot, I think, to make that jump all the way back and then do another trilogy where you're going like after Rise of Skywalker and then some. So I think it'll all connect. I don't really have any too much of a say in it, because I think kind of like Emily said, I'm not. The whole spaceship stuff just never really interested me that much either. So I'm not excited for it or anything, but I definitely, I think it'll be after Rise of Skywalker.
I feel like it would be like, the film just on itself could be great either way. But you want to sort of have momentum coming out of it. And I feel like it'd be like, either it's got to be after Return of the Jedi or after Rise of Skywalker. It could be after Return of the Jedi and have some sort of tiny little whisper of a link with the Mandoverse or whatever. But yeah, if it's just in the middle, it's sort of like,
I agree.
But, it might be better to have, the Mandoverse doing their thing and then the film going after the Rise of Skywalker over there, and then Taka's film going way back, hopefully, to some crazy action. But speaking of wanting things to continue and being able to buy into them more, we've got this article from StarWarsNews.net with Star Wars Visions director Kenji Kamiyuma confirming the Ninth Jedi is a pilot episode, which he says, I'd love to have the chance to make a full-length feature out of this. I feel I have a complete story in place. Now, this one out of the ones I've like really delved into screamed out, make another episode, please, very much so. How'd you find this one, Emily, and this pilot revelation?
I mean, almost all of these felt like people making pilots to various degrees. But I don't know, I didn't mind this one. Like, it wasn't my least favorite, but I was kind of surprised by how much people loved this one, because like for me it was like, okay, that was fine. Maybe just because I thought like the, oh, they're all Sith reveal was very, very obvious, and it just didn't like work for me. But I mean, I didn't like, I thought there was some cool stuff in it, but it, like, if it becomes like a, you know, an animated series or a movie, I'd watch it, but they were ones I liked more and am more interested in the story of.
The thing I liked about like the last couple of scenes and the possibility of it continuing was, I don't know, that ensemble seemed pretty unique for a Star mm-hmm. Wars posse. Where are you at, Corey?
Yeah,
oh, actually, before that, just for Devish is saying which one is the ninth Jedi episode? It's the one where the young girl has to deliver the lightsabers, and all the Jedi have met at that temple with the, they've been called towards them, towards that location. That should let you know what it is. Bunnyless. Yeah, it always, completely bunnyless.
It always felt like a pilot episode to me. A lot of those episodes felt like they could go on to, you know, do a complete season, like first season of something. But yeah, like I definitely liked the storyline. It wasn't my favorite out of all of them, but yeah, I could see that being the catalyst for like a full season or like a mini series or something. But this is set like way after the sequel trilogy, right? So this is like
it's like a future, because like the whole like people don't even like know how to make lightsabers anymore except this one guy, and that's the most interesting thing about that for sure.
Yeah So I guess this, I mean, there's a time period that's never been touched that they could you know do stuff with,
and like with the time period and stuff, they don't have to say whether it's canon or not. It's just like so far in the future that
it doesn't even matter.
It's kind of like a Battlestar Galactica reset of, of like it's been so it can just be a blurred thing, which I think with some elegance Star Wars can do. What was your favorite one, Emily?
I actually really liked the one with the bunny girl, because that plays into a couple of things I really like with the whole like adopted sibling thing. And I loved her character so much. And so that probably, in terms of potential for further story, that one was my favorite. And then I also, was it called The Bride?
Oh yeah, The Village Bride, I think.
The Village Bride. Yeah, I thought just as like, you could take that completely out of the Star Wars universe and I would still love it, and it would still be just this weird little beautiful story that obviously had a ton of backstory that we don't know that the writers had in their heads.
Right.
And also I just thought the animation was gorgeous on that one.
Yeah. What was your fave, Corey?
The Elder Jedi, I think it was. Was it the Elder? Or the
Elder, yeah.
Yeah, I think
the Elder. Sorry, yeah, the Elder. That one. I like that one a lot because it felt like it was sort of like in the High Republic era or even before that. So that's another timeline that they could explore without really, you know, touching anything. So I would love to see more of that.
Excellent. Shall we go to Rolling Stone? With Kamal Nanjiani saying, it's effing Obi-Wan. Which is...
Is that how he said it?
That's how they typed it. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe Rolling Stone's not as edgy as I first thought. Yeah, they say, how did your role in Obi-Wan Kenobi come about? My agents called me. It was a whole group of them that never call you. And I was like, okay, this is either amazing news or really awful news. And they're like, I don't know if you get a group of them. I don't think he's ever had any awful news from them. Because I don't feel like a group of agents would call you at once to say, hey, you're fired, buddy. This ain't no good. But that's just me. I everything I know about show business I learned from Entourage. Bro. Knuckle out, Emily. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're like, they want you to play a part in Obi-Wan, and apparently it's substantial. So then I talked to director Deborah Chow, and we had a great conversation, and the character sounded awesome. I was so excited about this character. We haven't seen this exact thing in Star Wars yet. It is like a new type of Star Wars character we've seen, and she was trying to sell me on it. And I was like, I was going to do it before the conversation. It was kind of perfect. I'll do it to the camera. Hush. Hush. You had me at Star Wars. It was kind of perfect. Right after quarantine, I got to do a job in town, and it was in Star Wars. It was just the most joyful first job back possible. I didn't know how I could beat the experience I've had, with Marvel movie. And then have Obi-Wan the next thing with another fantastic cast. Ewan McGregor, really? I don't know where I go from here. And so I decided to walk into the middle of the woods. And they asked what it was like in set. And he says, I had this moment. I'd heard Ewan was super nice. And then we got to know each other a little bit, just hanging out and talking. And then there's this weird moment where I'm talking to Ewan and they yell action. And he started talking to me. And I was like, oh, I'm talking to Obi-Wan right now. This is not Ewan McGregor. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi that I'm talking to. My character is supposed to be a little bit intimidated by him. And I was a little bit intimidated. You know, it was effing, and they actually wrote it, the full swear word here. So it was effing Obi-Wan. What are you going to do? And he talks. The only sort of hint is that he sits at a desk. So that's confirmed, Corey.
Quite a spoiler.
Nice.
He says, he's talking about the volume. And he said, the only thing that was real in the whole room was the desk I was sitting at.
Ooh, a desk. If I have enough of a like red ink and draw enough lines, I could get Commandant Johnny to be the younger version of the client in The Mandalorian. That's what I'm going for.
Oh, wow.
Because they sit at a desk. And that's how Star Wars theories work.
That's right. That's a perfect connection.
I got to tell you, that's where I first went as well. Because I was just thinking of a desk. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, another desky from the planet desk.
Can't have that many characters that sit at desks. And Commandant Donnie looks so much like Werner Herzog.
So much.
That is super cool, and this is how close, but yet so far I am to Star Wars. He used to run a gig at Nerdmelt, a stand-up show, where I used to do my live podcasts. That's as so like I've shared the same stage space as someone that's in Star Wars. Do you reckon you can put that on your IMDb?
What would you list that credit as?
Space shared with.
Oh.
I love it. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, have you got a better theory, Emily?
But a better theory than what?
Of how I'm going to make it in show business than with that.
I mean, I feel like we got to be really close to Ronnie Chang being in Star Wars.
I've thought about that, right? Next time I'm in contact with him, I have to let him know that he does have to tell me. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'd be really annoyed. No, I wouldn't be really annoyed. I'd be disappointed. If I didn't get, hey, bro, in Star Wars, bro.
I mean, if anybody was born to play a sarcastic droid, it's Ronnie Chang. Or he could be like just asshole Imperial officer.
I reckon.
The dude's not a Jedi.
Now, oh, dude, I'm going the other way. I'm calling a fully grown Yoda.
Okay.
Ears and stuff.
Uh huh.
Do you even use the Force, bro? Huh?
So you should play Thrawn.
Oh, that'd be good. But yeah, I do have to. I have to tell him that. Like, come on, like. When it comes, let a bro know, you know. And if you need an assistant on set, I could whisper him little references, like, oh, this doesn't fit in because of this, and potentially totally ruin his performance. But it'd be a thrill of a lifetime for me to get on the set. So there you go. Have you got Obi-Wan hype, Emily? You know, you've got a similar, should they do it, should they not do it, of disturbing the, what we thought was canon and getting Kenobi out for the rematch of the century or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, any story can be told well. And I really like Deborah Chow.
Emily, please use the catchphrase, please.
No, because that's such a dumb
catchphrase.
You're saying
the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, because you could say if it's done well, but I'm saying, like, of course, if it's done well, then it's done well. You could throw it in a bin with the OG. I hate it.
No. It's not if it's done well. It's if they do it right, which is better, because you're such a fanboy nerd head. You're not saying do it well, just do it the way I want.
I mean, there is no way I want with Obi-Wan. Like, I don't necessarily think I'm going to hate this, because you can, like, again, you can make anything interesting. It's not the story I would have chosen to tell. I mean, partially because I feel like I don't have the attachment to, like, I like Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan, but I don't have any attachment to the prequels or Clone Wars. So it's not like, that's not something I'm dying for. And also I feel like we already know a ton about him, and I'm like, it's not a character who like was screaming for more time, but I just don't want to see some big Darth Vader battle. That'll make me sad. And cause it's that, when, like, just the idea of them meeting for the first time again in that final duel is so powerful that undercutting that for the sake of a big spectacle on your TV show doesn't excite me. So I don't know, like, I'll watch the show and I think I could enjoy it. I'm not sitting here going, no, it's gonna suck and I'm gonna hate it, but I'm much more excited for Andor and other projects than I am for Obi-Wan.
Because I am in spirit classically against him leaving the planet and all that, but I'm taking a pre Darth Maul approach to it, because I just feel like they're going to put out a banger, and then I have to take some nerd continuity pride dinting for what I thought and what George thought. I'm sure, or hope, or tell myself late at night when I'm feeling lonely, but. Yeah, I think it's gonna pay off into something super good. And I always think very cynically, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series is getting made just by the, like, it's the happenstance of the time traveling Phantom Menace. And like, it's like, if Ewan McGregor wasn't exactly right for the role, I don't think people would be like stinging for a recasting and to tell this same story. What do you think, Corey?
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. It's going to be good. I think, so. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not opposed at all for Vader and Obi-Wan coming back together. I think there's a way you could do it that's kind of powerful, because, like, this is a hot take, I guess. I'm not the biggest fan of when they meet again in A New Hope. There's just not a lot of, like, I don't know. And I get it, because it was filmed in the 70s. This was before Avenger the Sith. So you can't have that, like, emotional, powerful moment between the two. I think obviously when he cuts him down and they have that moment, that's pretty powerful. But, you know, I've always wanted to see, like, and again, I know a lot of people use this line, but in Return of the Jedi, when Vader says that Obi-Wan once thought as Luke did, and like in Revenge of the Sith, every time they were fighting, I mean, Obi-Wan never really tried to like reason with Anakin that much. It was more like, here, why are you doing this? Oh, you're gonna like talk back now, I'm gonna kill you, kind of thing. So I think Kenobi kind of gives us an opportunity to see Obi-Wan like try one more time. I think the issue that comes into that is it's like, what, like, how many times is too many, right? Or like, does it start to cheapen the character arc between the two? But if they do in a solid way, I think it could work. But there's many ways where it might not. But I think if you have the right writer and the right team together, you can think of something pretty cool. But
I think at the absolute worst, even if the show is terrible, doing things you don't want it, I just think you'll just be watching dreamily at Ewan McGregor be Obi-Wan Kenobi again.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you just be like,
well, and that's the thing with the show, right? Is like, I think, because there's a lot of people obviously also feel like they shouldn't meet again. And so, I mean, in your own headcanon, you can always just kind of discount the show if it's not for you, if it's not, it's totally fair. But I think like to me, I think it's going to be so cool to have Ewan and Hayden interacting with like all this time in between, right? This 10-year gap of Obi-Wan having to deal with the fact that he couldn't save Anakin, and then Anakin with all this rage in him. And then I think there's little hints just throughout other canon material, like in Rebels, Vader talks about how he's hoping that Ahsoka could potentially lead him to Obi-Wan. So like he, in his mind, he knows he's alive.
Yeah, you're tripping. So if you think that's a hint,
I definitely think it's a hint that he's aware that Obi-Wan's still alive. Yeah. Why? I mean, there would be,
I just don't think that's a hint. I think that's just happens.
Oh, no, I don't think it's a hint to like Kenobi, but I think you could now take that as like, oh, well, that line works now versus like when they initially wrote it. Yeah.
Daniel Santos says they definitely shouldn't meet, but is it confirmed they do? Well, when old mate Kathleen Kennedy says it's the rematch of the century, got to be in the same room for the rematch of the century. It's not like, yeah. It's not like the World Series of Zoom calls. Come on.
Star Wars is not great at restraint. So.
Yeah, I think it'll be, yeah. We'll see.
But, I mean, most exciting about Kenobi, we now know there is a desk.
There's a desk. Yeah, that's that's great. I love his excitement in talking about, like, being on set with you and then sort of losing that it's you and just seeing Obi-Wan at that point. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That makes me like him more.
Yeah, that must be wild.
Seth also says Anna Window. Are we, come on, Seth. We just don't want to get too deep into spoilers here, okay? Have some respect for everyone else in the chat. Let's what, any other little Star Wars tidbits you got over there, Corey? You brewing on anything else?
Yeah, I mean, always, but...
They announce any figures this week?
Oh,
they announced the retro Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they have like all the cameo characters in season 2. They made like retro figures for them. Except for Luke and Grogu, because that's, you know, why would they do that? But
all right, wait there. I've got to get these up because I go on about them so much.
But... Yeah, so there's an Ahsoka, there's a Bo. I think there's a Boba Fett.
There's no Cobb Vanth.
No Cobb Vanth. Yeah, that's, you know, it's the minute I saw the Death Trooper, I was like, what? You couldn't have done like Cobb Vanth instead of It's just the Death Trooper is so weird. It's so random in the mix. But yeah, there you go.
All right. So let's review, right? You got Mandalorian in your Beskar. You know, it's the name of the show. So he can have a rerun in a newer outfit. Got a sweet material cape, fabric cape. Death Trooper, what are you doing? Like the Dark Trooper. Like if you want to have a baddie trooper, don't you think Dark Trooper is a more appropriate deal?
Definitely. For Mando? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They should be saving that for the Rogue One retro series with fabric caped Mando, don't you think, Emily?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I would have gone with, I would have wanted a Luke Jedi, but people in the chat are going to just say, oh, use your Return of the Jedi one, so whatever. But I definitely would have made that a Dark Trooper. Ahsoka, banging, got to have her. Someone did complain that her lightsabers weren't telescoping, but I pointed out to them on Twitter is that this series is set after Return of the Jedi. So you should have Return of the Jedi level weapons and fabric cape, not vinyl cape.
Mm.
Do you like my thinking, Corey? Really mm-hmm. thought that out. Bo-Katan, awesome. Boba Fett. Actually, with both those, a bit of a tragedy, we're not getting a removable helmet action. You know, it's
do they ever do those?
Yeah, well, Power of the Force had Stormtrooper, Luke Stormtrooper yeah, right. removable helmet, and then in the normal range there was Boosh with removable helmet and Lando with removable helmet.
Oh, that'd be too much effort for them. Way too much.
But ignoring Luke Jedi, I would have swapped the Armorer, who's last season's news,
Steel.
For Cobb Vanth.
To switch out the Death Trooper for Cobb Vanth.
Yeah, definitely.
Or switch out Bo-Katan for Cobb Vanth. Or switch out anybody for Cobb Vanth, and I'd be happy. But the armor is awesome. She had awesome scenes. And also, I just got the hot toy from her.
Oh,
and, cool. I mean, I'm not going to swear, but in my head, it's swear words because it is such a good figure.
That's awesome.
And the cape is, like, soft goods. So it's actually, like, fur. I mean, obviously not real fur, but fake fur. But oh, it's still good.
Does it have a head sculpt, or it's just a helmet?
No, it's just the helmet. Because I mean, obviously.
Oh yeah, she never takes off the helmet. That's right. I forgot my own canon. Oh yeah, that is cool.
Why isn't that updating on my screen?
Well, she comes with the tools.
Yeah, she has a hammer and like tongs and a thing. And it also, I have a lot of hot toys. I don't have any that have this, which it has this, it has like a like really solid cardboard backdrop that like, it's like a trifold of the armory.
Oh, it's got a display. That's cool.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I did notice they're starting to do those because I think the Luke that's coming out has a big display from when he's fighting the Dark Troopers. So that's cool that they're starting to do that. Oh, and it's an exclusive. That's why.
Yeah, sense. It was the it was the Toy Fair one. So they were only selling it for like a certain amount of time or something.
But, oh, that's cool.
Oh man,
it's good.
That fur on the back is pretty sweet.
That is great.
Is there a Cobb Vanth Hot Toys?
They announced one. They showed a little bit of a preview image, but so far they haven't shown a head sculpt, just the helmet. And if it's just the helmet, and I'm not going to buy that, but if they do like an unhelmeted head and they manage to capture Timothy Oliphant's handsome face, that is an instant sale for me.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a figure that they're going to, which it should come out, but I feel like that's one that's not, because I feel like
it's going to be Poe Dameron.
It's getting, yeah.
It's never going to happen.
That was a shame. I remember that, yeah. Yeah, which sucks because, like, I feel like the Cobb Vanth without a removable helmet would sell very well.
It doesn't get, it's just dude, like, do two head sculpts, like, do a helmet sculpt and a face sculpt. And they, okay, they do that with other figures because removal helmet with Hot Toys, it's not generally the way they go. But,
right. Yeah. The head sculpt and the helmet would be nice.
I think they just have a problem with very, very handsome people. And that's why we never got Poe. Look at the Hasbro pros that are all awful.
Yeah. Yeah, Funko at least coming out with the Cobb Vanth soon. I think they've been the only company to really make anything Cobb Vanth so far.
I might have to buy a Funko again then. That's right. I haven't bought one in like 2 years.
That's how they reel you in.
One thing, Devesh, we're going to talk about real quick that Carl Weathers said, I think Mandalorian starts filming today. He starts on season 3.
Yeah, he starts his episode. Today.
But Corey, I know you sent me a text about it that I've been hearing about elsewhere, but there's a 3-month strike about to hit Hollywood. Tell us what you know, Corey, with your show business report.
Yeah, so on Monday, the Hollywood strike that's going to be for a lot of the crew is going to go into effect if a deal is not made with the respective unions and whatnot, because, you know, we talked about this before, but working conditions are really bad on set for numerous reasons. So they're trying to strike a deal with all the different unions and whatnot, but unfortunately they haven't reached anything. And so on Monday, a strike will go into effect that could last about 90 days. So productions such as like Mandalorian season 3 and really anything that's filming right now across the board would be put on hold for about 3 months. So that's a big rumor right now. Like the strike is definitely happening, but the rumor is that it's going to be 90 days. Now I don't know if that means that if they reach a conclusion or a deal at some point that 90 day hold will lift, or if it's a fixed amount of time, I don't know.
Oh no. If you reach a conclusion, the strike ends. You don't just keep striking.
Right. Well, but I don't know if it's like, if production schedules are going to have to change at that point. And like, I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think it'll last as long as people think it's, I think they will come to a deal quite soon. But if not, then yeah, it's going to be 3 months, which again, totally fair. Like everything that the crews on different productions are pushing for is completely fair and valid. It's about time, honestly, that that deals are made and, you know, better wages and working schedules are created for them and whatnot. But yeah, it's definitely going to put stuff on hold that's in production. Post-production stuff probably won't be affected. So anything that's like Andor and Kenobi and all that should be fine. But I have a feeling that usually when one union strikes, another will as well. So if conditions
I think it's like a conglomerate of mega unions. I think it's like a whole bunch of mini unions. Now, times like this with issues, you know, people trying to, you know, live up to the rising cost of living, and they've got families to feed, mortgages to pay, cats to pat. You know, so we feel for them, but at times like this, most importantly, we have to think about us. Make the bloody space show. Make it.
I disavow this comment. The views of Steel Saunders do not represent the views of all the guests of the Steel Wars show.
Well, this is honestly like your worst take. You have some pretty bad takes. I love you.
I had to cut off Aubrey saying that she loves me. Yes. All right then, fine.
Well, so this is a good point. And so yeah, VFX artists are not unionized at all. So that's why a lot of post-production stuff for the VFX side of things will not be affected at all. I think
that's
editing
bananas, by the way. They need to unionize.
It's messed up. It's really like that's a whole other separate issue that needs to be worked out for them as well. But then I do believe editing is affected, and that's something obviously for post production stuff that could hit it a bit. I don't
kind of
know.
Important.
It's very important. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
All right. Well, hopefully for the good of everyone, mainly me, but also like these gaffers' families and all that. I hope they're all sitting up there. All the executives are sitting up at Hollywood Tower, and one of them concludes the meeting just by a simple,
"This is a battle. I do not think that we can win."
And we can start refilming my show for me. For me. All right?
Yeah.
Hey, Emily, if you don't like my attitude, don't watch the show, mate. Is Emily frozen? Yeah. Or has she just been stunned? Has she left?
No, it's frozen.
Emily, are you alive? She's left. I think she's gone on strike.
The Steelhorse strike. That's right. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But what do you want to come out the most right now? What do you like? I need this to come out right now.
Well, Book of Boba Fett, because it's next.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Just let's get it going. But I am I'm piping hot for some Kenobi. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. Who isn't, right?
I'm looking forward to seeing Obi-Wan Kenobi again.
I am looking forward to seeing Obi-Wan Kenobi as well. Very much so.
You know, whether he's
I know.
Strolling the streets of Tatooine or up in space. Yeah. Happy to see him. Emily has gone on strike. She's left.
She's gone on strike.
Oh my stars.
Did you hear about Book of Boba not having, so originally Hawkeye was going to kind of hit, the finale was going to be on the same day that the first episode for Boba is released, but now they're releasing two Hawkeye episodes on the first day for the premiere, so it will not disturb Book of Boba at all.
So it will conclude before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's good, because I don't want to watch Christmas stuff after Christmas. I feel like a bit of a, like, no offense, everyone, but I feel like I'm living in the past. Like, do you know what I mean? I should be watching movies about 2022 or something by then. All right, let's end with this. And Ming-Na Wen is in Mexico filming Glitter and Doom. And she just did a fun little promo for the Book of Boba Fett and Disney Plus. And it looks like she's got a bloody, like a nuclear grade level setup here.
I was about to say, that's quite the setup.
That case, it's some special Disney live streaming setup she's been shipped. Emily Lynn, sorry, my Wi-Fi crashed.
That's the new strike.
And then the next message just, was one word, just said scab. So I don't know what that's about.
Scab. Yeah. Scab means when somebody replaces, so all the industry people that are going to go on strike.
I know what it means. She didn't actually write it.
I know what it means.
She didn't write it. She didn't write scab.
All right, carry on. I was like, how do you not know what that means?
It was covered in an early episode of The Simpsons. Of course I know what it means. But one would ascertain that she's filming a sweet little promo for Disney Plus Day, Corey, which I believe is November 12th.
November 12th. We're like about a month away now, yeah.
Let's give us 2 seconds. I'll get rid of this screen. Well, what do you think about Emily just leaving like that?
It's the only way you can get people to make deals is by striking. So,
what? You were offended when she said yikes, though, yeah.
Was not. Not offended.
Do you want me to tell you what else she said?
Yes, please continue.
Well. Emily's back. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you after the show. Sorry, everyone. Stupid Wi-Fi, sure. I thought you went on strike, Emily.
Yeah, I'm striking for better working conditions.
Better streaming conditions. Because now you're like up to your chin
Well, I was like messing with my laptop to try to get
There you go. I've got you back up there.
Okay.
I actually was shocked I could do that on live stream. StreamYard. That's excellent. So we've got to be getting this Book of Boba Fett trailer. It's without question, Corey. Do we think we're going to get any whispers or anything else? Are they going to go on the spree? Is Kathleen just going to do a 5-hour energy before the presentation and just like reel off 18 new projects?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What do you think, Lindo? Corey's blocking me. He's needs to do more classes at the Groundlings.
We have a lot of projects like already that are upcoming. So I don't know if we're going to get anything like new announcements of like new, like things we don't already know about, but we might get, I feel like we're going to get more info on some stuff that we already know is happening.
Remember Lando Calrissian? Here's its graphic again.
Yeah. We haven't heard about that one in a while.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that show. And also they might delay some of those announcements now because of the strike too. Cause I know everything's been pushed back.
What's going on with that the droid story cartoon?
Oh, the droid story. Yeah, is that supposed to come out this year?
I thought it was, but
yeah, I thought so too.
I can't imagine that it is now since we haven't heard anything.
They never acknowledged that afterwards.
It's just it's just in the on the shelf with the Rian Johnson trilogy.
Oh, sadness.
But is it like, are they doing like, I don't really understand what Disney Plus Day is. Like for me, it's just like a time to appreciate my family and friends.
The real meaning of Disney Plus Day.
Yeah. Just...
it's too commercialized now.
So I thought I had an understanding of what it was.
Sorry. Okay, Corey, what happened to you?
What do you mean?
I thought you were like halfway through a sentence and then you just stopped.
Oh yeah, sorry. There's the Disney Plus. I'm quite confused about it too because I thought it was going to be the another live stream type thing, but now I don't know.
All right, I'm typing it in. Disney.
I'm reading it right now, but
Plus Day. All right, Forbes. What you need to know.
Okay.
And it's not the guy from Forbes that makes everyone angry, so calm down. It's Megan Dubois, or Dubois, which is an excellent surname. Walt Disney Company recently announced a new initiative called Disney Plus Day, which will take place November 12th. The Synergy event.
Ugh.
That's the perfect response.
Sorry.
I just want to zoom up. I've got a replay of this with I can do replays now. There we go. There she is. The Synergy event.
Oh, interesting.
Will be across all dimensions of the company and allow Disney Plus subscribers to be among the first to see new content from brands like Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars. Disney Plus subscribers will also be privy. Bloody hell. I love being privy. To a special presentation on the streaming platform, which will showcase sneak peeks of what's coming next. And Disney Plus Day, November 12th. That's, of course, the 2-year anniversary of the streaming service. That means it's Grogu's birthday. Which is Yoju, if you will.
They're going to have to announce things like before it. I would imagine closer to the date, they'll explain more about what it is. I know there's going to be a bunch of announcements that day. I just don't know how they're going to release them. Is it going to be a live stream like they did last year? Is it going to be just StarWars.com? Is it going to be like a Disney Plus special? Yeah, they're not. All they say is like there's going to be a bunch of announcements and that's it. So
you're saying there will be new announcements?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because this just reads like they're going to go, we've been like, it's more like consolidating, showing little bits of extra stuff.
But I feel those announcements might be more along the lines of the Turner and Hooch series type announcements than the type of announcements that we want.
I think they're going to talk a little bit about what the release schedule looks like next year. So I think I could see them talking about how, oh, after Book of Boba, our schedule is like Kenobi or whatever is, you know, whatever they're going to do. I think that's going to be the big thing of that day, is getting an idea of what's like, what the schedule is.
Okay. Sorry, Emily.
No, I'm just going to say, now, to preface this, Corey, because you know things that I don't want to know, I do not want you to react to this anyway.
Okay.
But November Disney Plus date is two.
Wait, whoa.
No, that's crap.
We've got to see. Make sure Corey does not react.
Disney Plus Day is 2 days after my birthday. There could be no better announcement for me than friggin' here's Ben Mendelsohn is going to be in Andor. That is the birthday present that I want from Disney Plus. I've given them a lot of money. They could give me this. That's just what I'm saying. Thank you, Corey, for not reacting.
I feel like I'm watching someone lose on World Series of Poker. You've just looked at the cards and you've gone, oh, I'm done. This is it. Yeah.
That's right.
I've lost the house.
I'm starting to train myself on not reacting to things now. So I feel like I got it.
So when they show the Book of Boba Fett trailer, are you going to do one of your patented non-reaction videos? Just you looking stone-faced for 3 minutes?
That's right. Yeah. Probably.
Aubrey will be next to you going, oh my God, it's Bossk! And you'll be like...
Yeah. That's usually me when I watch stuff when the camera's not on my face. So, yeah, that's about right.
Hey, we'll wrap it up, but we'll do that. I've got an amazing bit of Steel Wars trivia that I will. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the show, but Emily Lind, it's been a joy to have you as our guest, Corey. And Corey, it's been a delight to have you as our guest, Emily Lind. So it's been a good time. You've just uploaded a new episode of one of my favorite podcasts, the Canto Bite Dispatch. Tell the kids about it.
Yeah, me and my friend Brittany Brown, who actually met through Steel Show, do a podcast where we sometimes talk about Star Wars and more often right now talk about Ted Lasso and the Great British Bake Off. And we just have a lot of fun and try not to take Star Wars too seriously. And you can find that anywhere you find podcasts. And you can also find it on Twitter at CantoBitePod.
Excellent. And I too try not to take Star Wars too seriously. Doesn't always work out. Does not always work out. Actually, that was me trying to open a Star Wars advent calendar. So,
is that what that is?
I'd forgotten what the clip was actually from.
So, it's what date is it? October 14th. It's getting close to Christmas again. And I think that is when we will see the rematch of the century.
Steel versus cardboard.
Or there's always this one that I've got the clip of.
This will be the rematch of the century.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Great dialogue. They've outdone themselves.
I just made the connection as to why you made that clip. When you showed it to me last time, I was like, I don't get it. Now I get it. Yeah, it makes more sense. That makes way more sense. Oh, boy. Wow.
Thank you for that, guest Emily. That was fantastic. That's exactly what Emily would have said.
That's right.
Corey, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at the Convor Call, doing another stream tomorrow, talking about everything I talked about here. So, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. You can follow me at Corey_Wolfpack on Twitter and Instagram, and Convor Call on Twitter and Instagram as well. So,
yeah. Excellent. Oh, I almost forgot to plug this. Oh, my stars. Friday night, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. West, 10 p.m. East, premiering for everyone on YouTube, a non-Patreon, everyone can watch edition of Star Wars Year by Podcast with me and Hawes talking about the all the Star Wars news of the end of 1984. And it's a hella good time. And you'll be able to watch it, of course, on delay or listen to it on the podcast after this. But if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, get in that chat and obey the algorithm. Thanks for everyone for chatting along and giving the little thumbs up and all that, retweets on Twitter. So here's my little like Star Wars factoid, right? I'm just at home one day, just minding my own business. And this, I get this. A weird phone number ring me, right? International phone number. And I answer, I kid you not, it was Forlom wanting to know if I can get him in contact with Dave Filoni to get back into the, like, to get into the Mandalorian.
No way.
Like, it was Forlom from The Empire Strikes Back. His name is eluding me now, and I think it's kind of funny just to call him Forlom. But really nice guy, older British dude. But yeah, I said I don't have those type of
contacts. I'll talk to him tonight. I have to follow up. I have to follow up. You're gonna, because I had a similar experience with somebody who was a voice actor on Clone Wars. I got a random DM from her and she was like, "Hey, do you think you could talk to Dave to get me into Rebels?" And I responded and I was like, "You're talking to the wrong person." Like I don't know. So that is hilarious.
Was it Lucy Lawless? And it was another role ruined by the fans. Excellent. Thank you guys so much. Thanks to everyone. Come hang out tomorrow night for me and Hawes talking Return of the Jedi, Ewoks, Terminator. It is and we watched this footage of this plane crashing with all these like crash test dummies. It's fantastic. It's some great content, trust me. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend, and May that force be with you. Sunday, Monday, Corey days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Corey days. Corey day. What a day for YouTube. This content is out. Scoop along with me those Corey days. We didn't talk in the show about Kamali's chest here.
Or his weird new chin.
Dude, how can you look at the chin with that chest? Look at that vein. It looks like he smells what the Rock is cooking. It's ready to go. It's incredible. Is that what you look like, topless Corey?
Oh,
Or is it... Is it more like this?
I had a really good response, and I checked myself. Yeah, it's definitely out of that. It's like a Wiener Herzog, whatever he looks like.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.